what I want us to do is just really pick up where we left off last week. We're in Philippians. If you don't know that, we're studying through this. I'm excited about this. And one of the things that has really been incredibly encouraging for me, to say the least, is how much Philippians has become new. I've studied it. I've taught on it multiple times. But even today, there are things that I've never seen as we walk through this together. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And here's a couple things we want to make sure that we remember because it's going to correspond with where we are today. Last week, we addressed the call to unity and really how unity is one of those things that testifies to God's work for those outside of the church, but also those inside of the church. And it really is one of those markers, those beacons for hope for other people. So I don't know if you know this. If you've been part of our church for a while, you kind of do. And so I want to repeat it to make sure everybody's on the same page. We exist to be disciples who make disciples for the glory of God. That's who we are. And at Grace, that's kind of our mission statement, so to speak. But I want you to understand we exist to be disciples who make disciples for the glory of God. And what we need to understand sometimes are what are the things that get in the way of us actually walking out what we are? What are some of the things that really undermine or usurp us being disciples in the first place? And so I want to kind of suggest as we walk through this that unity is one of those things. And so we want to walk in obedience in humility. And so for review, if you would look with me at this call to unity. We see it in the latter part of chapter 1, especially in verse 27, you know, to walk out a manner worthy of the calling of the gospel of Christ. And then it talks about standing side by side, standing firm as one. But we see it again in chapter 2, verse 1. Look at it with me. If you have your Bibles, it will not be on the screen, but you guys are awesome, so it doesn't matter. Okay, here it is. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, this is Paul writing to a church. He says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And so we see this picture here of unity taking place. One of the things we discovered last week, as we're about to see it addressed again, is that humility is a bridge where a relationship can happen. So if there happens to be a conflict in relationship, humility is the thing that actually can help you cross over and actually find a way to resolve that conflict. Whereas pride does the opposite. It's the opposite effect. It's like a sledgehammer that tears down that bridge, keeping things in conflict, at odds. So what I want us to do is begin to see differently. Again, one of the quotes that we quoted from our senior pastor, Doug Clark, was this, that my contribution to unity is my humility. And so we want to make sure we walk out of that. So from that picture, that call of unity, that call of walking side by side, having the same love, having the same mind, is this in verse 3. Do nothing from rivalry or selfish ambition or conceit. If you were here last week, you remember that word conceit means empty glory. I kind of brought up this bowl and talked about how it looks great from the outside. It's ornate. It's got all this, you know, these different ridges in it that make it look nice. But inside, it's empty. It's this picture. Conceit is empty glory. And many of us are parading around as though we've got so much, but it's actually empty glory. Don't do that. Instead, do this. It says, but in humility, this is how unity happens. Count others more significant than yourselves. Think about that just in the small picture of marriage. If you pursue to count your spouse's interest more important than your own interest, what happens? She's going to be so mad at you, so disappointed in you that you were so thoughtful. Thank you. Not. Right? So just within that. But again, keep in mind, this is Paul writing to a church, a group of people from different backgrounds who've been united because of the gospel of Christ. So this is who the audience is. Now, yes, it can apply to these other places, but directly it's talking to the church. So keep reading verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Very similar, right? to Jesus saying, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you're going to look out for your interest, what would be in your best interest, how you would take care of you, do the same for others. And then verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So again, last week I made sure to kind of sit there for a moment because I want you to understand that if you're in Jesus Christ, if you're in relationship with Him, if you've been united with Him, then this mindset has been downloaded to you by the Holy Spirit of God. This is yours. It's not some like app you have to add on. It's what you already have. It's like for many of us, if we walk in the closet, we see clothes we didn't know existed. We've been looking for it in the stores and we find out we've already owned it. You already have this mindset that pursues after humility, that chases after that. It's already yours. Walk it out. So, to make sure that we get it clearer, Paul does something here. He takes us to what's called the Christ hymn. We were enemies of God and Jesus, but in His humility, He emptied Himself in order to reconcile us back to Him. So track with me. If the holy God of the universe was willing to humble Himself, right, become a human, take on our flesh, and die on the cross for our sin so that we can be reconciled to Him, to show the ultimate act of obedience and humility, if He was willing to do that, how much more should we be willing to humble ourselves and walk in obedience and unity? So that's the picture that He gives, right? So if Jesus could do that, then we could. Now, let's look at His example. In verse 6, who, speaking of Jesus, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But notice, back to the bowl picture, verse 7, but He emptied Himself. He poured out His glory by taking the form of a servant, of being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. Notice here, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient. Two words, humbled and obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So that's the work that was done. So in verse 9, notice the therefore, the so that, the purpose for all that. Therefore, as a result, God has highly exalted Him. So all the glory that was emptied is now put back in, highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's filled back up. He willfully emptied and humbled Himself, walked in obedience. God the Father filled it back up, His glory back up. And so there is this picture of when we are willing to take anything that we would have as moments of pride, of prestige, and say, you know what? For the good of the whole, I'm going to walk in unity. And I'm going to empty those things and walk in humility in obedience. And what happens is we get exalted with Christ. We get lifted up with Him. We get to be with Him. So walk with me in verse 12 on this beautiful picture. Now, what Paul does here, so he gives us this backdrop of this Christ hymn that talks about what Christ did and how God exalted Him. In verse 12, again, it's another therefore, or as a result, my beloved, and notice how he's kind of commending here, he's complimenting them, as you have always obeyed. Notice he's kind of affirming them. You guys have been doing this. You've always obeyed. You've always had this right. You already had this in the back of your mind. You know this. So now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, right? So you're going to do these things. Normally, you would do these things when I'm around. But now that I'm not around, you need to continue to do these things, to walk in unity, to stand side by side, to have the same mind, to have the same love. Just like a parent, right? Think about this. My kids, you know, usually, not all the time, but they behave pretty good when I'm around. But I want them to be able to behave when I drop them off somewhere. I want them to love each other like they love each other at home around the table. And my son's looking at me, he's like, they don't love each other at the table. But this is the mindset. Many of us are like this. We had this thing that we did for a little while. We saw, parenting, by the way, is a whole lot of trial and error. Can I get a witness? Right? We were like, we're going to do this thing called the I word. If we see you take an initiative, we're going to, you know, give you something. And so we have one of our kids, not named Isaac, but it's his closest sibling. So every time there was an opportunity for her to take some initiative, she made sure we were watching. She's like looking to make sure, otherwise she's not doing it, to get some reward for doing what she should already be doing. This is what he's addressing. You should be doing this stuff whether I'm there or not. And what is this stuff that he's talking about? Again, it's walking out unity. That's the mindset that's paraded all through this. Walking in humility, obeying that way. And this is how he says it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I am purposely pausing there, but just know for the sake of reality and context, that's not the whole story, okay? You guys are like, but wait a minute, you talk about it's by grace, through faith. Absolutely. So we'll get there. Pump your brakes. Notice what it doesn't say in the text. It doesn't say work for your own salvation. It does not say that. It says work out your own salvation. And by the way, the you're there is plural. He's speaking to the church as a whole, not just an individual. So this is a corporate directive. It's not an individual directive to work it out. So here's the reality, the picture in view. Again, this mind is already yours in Christ Jesus. So if by chance, and I'm going to have you guys do one of those things where you really flex your creative, imaginative muscles. Imagine that I'm in incredible shape, that I work out, that I eat well. Imagine that. You guys have a great imagination. Okay? All right? Imagine me not stressing the tension of my belt out right now. But walk with me. I would be working out, you know, exercising, jogging, eating right with the body that God gave me. I'm taking the instrument he's already given me, and I'm using it to benefit my whole that benefits others as I serve others. In the same way, your body, your soul, from God, you're taking what he's done and saving you, redeeming you, calling you by name, and working out of that the things that he's already put in you. Does this make sense? I want you to see that all that you need in truth and godliness, these things that you need to call out, walk out in, is already in you. It's not a new app that you have to download. It's you walking out what's already in. So work it out. Like, bring these things to bear. He's given you his spirit. He's called you and taught you to pray. He's given you his word. He's given you community. Walk that stuff out. And then notice what the little caveat at the back end of that. With fear and trembling. Not in fear of losing your salvation. That's not in view. That's not possible. You didn't earn it in the first place. You can't lose it. It's a gift. So walk with me here. With fear and trembling, to who? To God. Like he who would send his son to come in the flesh, a holy God that would come into to human flesh to die on the cross for my sin? I'm working that out. I'm walking that salvation out with fear and trembling, thinking, how in the world can a God who is this good be this good to me? And here's the benefit. Notice verse 13. So let's read it together so that you guys understand that there's really, in the grammar, the 13's not there. So let's read it together. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who, listen to this, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Imagine that. For those of you back in the day who were brave enough to do P90X, and you were brave enough to leave the volume on and listen to Tony Horton, And imagine Tony Horton is encouraging you, right? Pam Blam or whatever her name was and all those people. And there it's as if they're working through you to exercise, to do chin-ups, to do these weird river jumps and all these other things that are on there. This is what's called here. God is calling you to unity, to humility and obedience. But he's not just calling you to do it without him. He's calling you to do it with him. He's not just saying, you better do this jump. It's going to benefit you. Then rest for 60 seconds and then I'm going to come back and yell at you some more. He's going to call. I'm going to walk with you as you do this. It is me who is in you working this out, both to will and to work. And who gets pleasure from that? God gets pleasure from him working in and through the believer who was formerly lost, formerly an opponent of his, formerly his enemy. Now he's walking and working in and through us, through his Holy Spirit, to accomplish his mission. Of us being disciples who make disciples for his glory. So again, it is God who works in you both to will, to help you like think the right things, consider the right things. It's his Holy Spirit that helps you see and experience conviction and to work, to have the ability, the empowerment, the emboldenment that's necessary to do these things for his good pleasure. But wait, there's more. Verse 14, and this is the part where many of us are like, we would have been great if we would have stopped at 13 because that was so encouraging. God's with us. This is incredible. But 14 is part of it. Think about any time that you've tried to aim towards something good. Like where a group of people are going for it and you understand it's not perfect. The reason why you understand things aren't perfect is because you got people who are constantly reminding you it's not perfect. Those people that complain and grumble and argue, and they're continuing to remind you of your shortcomings, and they're that person in your ear all the time. They're sending these little passive-aggressive messages in social media. They're doing these things knowing some way to undermine and usurp unity. So we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It's God who's working in us, both the will and the work for his good pleasure. Do all things, verse 14, without grumbling or complaining or disputing or arguing. Because you know what those things are? Those are like little chisels at the bridge of unity that humility has delivered. They're little moments where people are chipping away, right? So we know this, right? Positive thinking, which we're going to deal with more, and not the secular way of seeing it, but really understanding. If we're going to be positive, it means we're people of hope because of Christ. If we're going to be negative, it means we're people of despair who don't know Christ. Which one are you? Because what he's saying is the grumbler, the complainer, is the one that has no idea of the hope that's in Christ. And so they're going to poke away and chip away against what God is doing. So keep reading. Verse 15. That you may be, notice the word may be, so that there could be a, again, you got to do the whole scripture, blameless and innocent children of God without blemish. And you guys are like, wait a minute, pump the brakes. You told me that if I'm in Christ, I am blameless. I am innocent. Well, it's not talking about between your relationship with God. It's talking about your relationship with other people. Before God, you are blameless and innocent if you're in Christ. But for many of us, because of arguing and complaining and grumbling, we're not portraying blamelessness or innocence in our witness to other people. And I'm going to tell you that this is one of those areas that gets in the way of us being disciples that makes disciples for the glory of God. And it may not be out loud verbally. It may be through your social media post. but you're complaining that way. And notice that word, without blemish. It means to be pure. It gives the visual of wine that has not been diluted with water, or a metal that hasn't been diluted with an alloy. So when we partake in complaining and gossiping and grumbling and arguing, what we're saying is we're diluting the purity that can happen through unity. We're owning it. So let's read it all together. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Can I get a witness? Right? Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Do you shine as a light if you're complaining and whining just like the world? You just blend right in. But if you stand out and pursue unity and humility and obediently walk in that, you're a beacon. And you're not a beacon to point at you. You're reflecting the light of Christ. Do we understand this? This is what we've been called to. So if we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ that make disciples of Jesus Christ, we've got to make sure that we're focusing on unity. There are a million things just in this room. If everybody brought all the things that they disagree with everybody about, we could have the room filled with so many examples and excuses and justifications and complaints, right? But we have one thing that trumps all those things, and it's Jesus. And that's what we need to be fighting for. And it's His Spirit that we need to be fighting with. His Spirit is our weapon, is our enabler, is our empowerment to do what He's called us to do, to pursue unity. When we walk as one, it testifies to the world that these people who have every reason to fight and argue against one another are actually unified. What does that in them? And we could say, only Christ. Only Christ. So notice in verse 16, let me read it fluidly. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. So we're going to shine as lights, okay, in the world, holding fast to the word of life, okay, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. We keep God's word in God close. Holding fast to it, which means clinging to it, like with white knuckles, clinging to this truth. So here's the thought that's central for today. Our working out our salvation is not a law of labor. It's a pursuit by grace. It's God who works in us, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So, let's put that in action for a moment. I know some of you think, you know, you're a pastor, it's so easy for you to do that as a pastor. Okay, so let's take me out of it. Let's just put you in the equation. By the way, that's not true. No matter what your work is, your occupation, not your calling, but your occupation, that is a platform for you to be a light in the world. One of the ways that you can do that is to pursue unity, not to be that person at work that everybody knows. If there's going to be a complaint, if there's going to be an issue, if there's going to be any excuses, it's going to come from that person. You're not going to be that person. You're going to be a person who pursues peace, who chases after reconciliation. You're going to be that person at work. You're going to be humble. You're going to be known for that because you're following after Christ, who was humble and obedient for you. That's who you're going to be, because you are a disciple of Jesus Christ who makes disciples of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. That's who you are. You're going to walk in that. You're going to own that. You're going to do it there. You're going to do it, crazy thing, you're going to do it at your kids' ball games. They're going to know that you are people of peace. They're going to know that you walk in truth, that you follow after a Savior who came and died, who absorbed all the reasons to break fellowship. He took them all on himself and actually united people. You're going to follow after him at your kids' games, even if the referee doesn't have a clue what they're doing. You're going to do that. In your marriages, even if you're right, you're going to be humble. Even if you're right. As a dad, as a mom, you're going to find a way to bridge with your kids. Not to provoke them to wrath, to anger, to disappointment, setting them up to fail. You're going to model for them. You're going to give them a glimpse of the good father in the way that you raise your kids. This is who you are in Christ because you're a disciple of Jesus Christ who makes disciples of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. The way that you drive on the interstate, on the highway, is going to reflect this. The way that you are at the market when there's that person with 300 coupons and she still uses a checkbook, you're going to find a way to be a person of peace there. I love this. This idea of unity is really kind of the undercurrent of peace. And Jesus talks about this, doesn't he, in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? The sons of God. You're reflecting the Father as you pursue peace. So church, I gave you all that, but I wanted to close because I wanted you to know who you are and how you can begin to behave and walk these things out. This isn't about behavior modification. This is about actually walking out what's already yours in Christ Jesus. This is already yours. You've already bought it. Or better yet, it's already bought you. The Holy Spirit of God is walking and working in and through you, again, to will and to work for his good pleasure. So, I close with the thing we've referred to. Many of you have seen it. Some of you weren't alive yet when the movie came out. But Eric Little, his little quote there that really, you can actually skip the whole movie, but watch this one scene where he says, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure. He made me fast," right? And I want you to know he made you to be unified. And when you walk in that, you are giving God pleasure, giving him joy. Because people who were formerly enemies are now walking out what he's done in them. So let's live in that.